Sean Tilly. My Radio 1.
From its launch in 1967, right through the 70s to the mid-80s, BBC Radio 1 was probably the world's biggest music station. In this series, I'll be introducing you to many of the people behind the network's success during those golden years, as they each tell the story of their Radio 1.
Johnny Walker. Hello, Sean. How are you?
I'm very well. It is great to see you. Thanks ever so much for coming on and
my
sharing
pleasure.
The memories. Well, that's what we're about to do anyway. But, Johnny, is it safe to say, would it be fair to say that after Radio Caroline came to an end, the prospects of you joining Radio 1, were you quite reluctant at first?
Yeah, because I hoped something else might happen. I kind of realised that Radio Caroline wasn't going to come back. Hung around in Amsterdam for a few days because there was talk that maybe they'd haul the ship in to clean the hull and, you know, do a bit of refitting work to make it ready to go out again. But I sort of knew that wasn't going to happen because when the Dutch tug turned up at 5 a.m., March 2nd, I think, 68, they cut the anchor chain. Now, they went to a lot of trouble to get a good anchor for Radio Caroline, the ship Mi Amigo, because it had dragged its anchor before. If they were going to bring Caroline back, they'd have put that chain on a buoy so he could have reconnected the ship. So Caroline wasn't going to come back. And I sort of messed around for a year, which, funnily enough, was exactly the time period I needed to. I'll come to that. But I used to hang out at Atlantic Records, and I became good friends with Frank Fenter, the UK label boss, Janet Martin, who was his PA, and because I played a lot of Atlantic music on Caroline. So I would hang about there when I wasn't doing a driving job. I enrolled in a freelance driving agency, so any day I might be driving a van down the Portobello Market or delivering 8-track stereos next to Radio Luxembourg, hiding behind them so nobody would recognise me. And then a year went by, and Clive Selwood, who managed John Peel and also was label boss for Elektra Records, also in the same building, just across the corridor from Atlantic Records, he just said, "Johnny, you really should be on the radio. You know, all this hanging around here, you're wasting your time and you're wasting your talent. You've got to be on the radio. And there's going to be nothing else. You've got to swallow your pride and think about joining Radio 1. And I always said on Caroline, I'd never join Radio 1, which is hence my reluctance. So he said, "Do you want me to have a little mention around there and see what the reaction is?" So I said, "Yeah, all right then," thinking probably nothing would come of it. And then I saw him about 3 days later, and he said, "Mention it up at Radio 1. He said, "They're quite keen to see you." He said, "In fact, Mark White, the controller, would like to take you out to lunch. And they've suggested this date and this location." And the restaurant was called The Bark and Bite on Regent's Park Canal, which I thought was a bit unusual. Anyway, I turned up, and there was this long narrow boat that had been converted to a floating restaurant. I walked in there, and then Mark White sprung up, looking like an RAF sort of squadron leader, bristling moustache and everything, smoking around the pot. "Johnny, lovely to see you. How are you? Welcome aboard. We thought we'd, you know, have lunch here because you'd feel right at home. We've got all the portholes here and everything." And at that moment, it was a brilliant idea. And at that moment, I thought, these BBC chaps, they're not so bad after all. You know, they've got a bit of a sense of humour.
"Hello there. Good afternoon, sir. Good afternoon, madam. Welcome to the very first Johnny Walker Show on Radio 1. Now, listen, one thing I must lay on you right now, I am not nervous in the slightest. Now, it really is lovely to be with you again. Listen, let me tell you something. I decided that being a DJ is like riding a push bike, you see, and once you've done it, you never forget. But if you haven't sort of ridden for a long time, you kind of wobble again at the beginning. So we'll be wobbling a bit this afternoon, so be ready for that, okay?"
And then I did my first Saturday afternoon show, which you've just played me a bit of. I think it was Cup Final day. And so the Cup Final was massive in those days. It was on terrestrial TV. Everybody watched it. Nobody was going to listen to the radio, and I think that's why they decided, we'll put him on there. And there, it used to be the traditional tryout slot Saturday afternoon. They figured everybody's into sport. Not many people listening to the radio. If we've made a mistake hiring someone, then it won't matter too much. So that's how it all started at Radio 1.
"Time for the Ravers on this footer afternoon. We're going to kick our own footballs around in here, don't worry. Song at 67 there from Little Richard, entitled Get Down With It. see, a little message now to a certain somebody who's sitting there and saying he's forgotten. He never said hello to me. Well, listen, I tell you, one he always remembers to say...
And as debuts go, it wasn't too bad. It was a nice, confident start.
Well, I since find out, talking about this year gap, that a memo went round after Caroline went off the air. On no account must any producer employ the services of Johnny Walker until a year has gone by to let the taint of criminality subside. That was how this memo was worded. So if I'd have tried to join Radio 1 earlier on, I wouldn't have got a gig. So the year had gone by. And I just knew I had to make an impression, I think. And the big problem that pirate radio DJs had, and a lot of them went to Radio 1 to launch the station, was it the whole atmosphere and environment was so different to what they'd been used to on a ship. So what I tried to do was to be as much... as I was on Radio Caroline on my 9 to midnight show, but on BBC Radio 1.
A couple of little dedications now. This letter comes from Liz, who lives at 30A Fox House Lane, Macholland, Liverpool. Says, "Dear Johnny, please could you play a record for my friend Leslie, because it's her birthday on Monday. She's 16. Happy birthday, Leslie. She always forgets to listen to your show, but if I tell her that I've asked you to play a record, she might remember." Well, you remember in future, Leslie. I hope that you'll be doing lots of shows in the future. Good luck. Lots of love from Liz. Thank you very much for writing, Liz. Happy birthday again, Leslie. Also, next record going out to Lisbeth, who lives at 256 Lauderdale Mansions, Lauderdale Road, London W9. Thanks very much for writing, Lisbeth. Here's the Flirtations for you and Leslie.
Those early shows were produced by a guy called John Bussell.
He was all right, John Bussell.
And he gave you plenty of say in terms of choosing the music?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he was good. Subsequently, they did sort of throw lots of programmes at me. You could do a week on What's New, where you were on Monday to Friday reviewing new records.
Radio 1 Club as well.
Yeah, did a bit of that. Then they tried me on a Monday to Friday show, what they call a strip show. A strip show. Why on earth they called them that? But that's what they call shows that were on every day, every
weekday. April 1970, 9 till 10, sandwiched in, but a very tasty sandwich filling between Tony Blackburn and Jimmy Young.
Yeah, it was bizarre. It was bizarre. A one-hour show. What was that all about? It was obviously a tryout, I think.
I'm off to Chatham now for this afternoon to open up Radio Midway. So for me, Tony Blackburn, have lots of fun. Be good. And bye for now. It's now exactly 9 o'clock and time for the Johnny Walker Show.
Thank you very much indeed. Wouldn't it be funny if you went all the way down to open that new station and somebody lost the key and no one could get in?
It could happen. You never know.
Anyway, enjoy yourself.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, Tony.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, world. It's a brand new day.
And I would try and do a sort of jokey handover with Tony Blackburn, who wasn't in those days very good at the sort of ad-lib thing. And I'd throw one-liners at him and sort of nothing would come back. So that was always a bit of a struggle.
Johnny Walker saying, have a happy Friday, a good weekend, and see you Monday morning at 9 o'clock. That was Tea Garden and Van Winkle and God Love and Rock and Roll. I'm sending you out the love. That was the rock and roll. As for the other, here's Jimmy Young.
And then handing over to Jim, it was just, he would just take it over like, well, you know, the rubbish is finished now. The real radio started at 10 o'clock.
Shook him. There he was, gone. Morning all. And very well, welcome to our last leapabout of the week. It's a tiny touch of the wet and windy down here in London, actually, but that's only outside, you understand? And should the weather be getting you down rather more than somewhat, we shall hope to help the next couple of hours along a little bit for you. And we spent the first 3 mins of our trip, TTT, actually, aboard the Pony Express of...
But my one abiding memory of that show was that... I heard Eric Clapton's album that he made as Derek and the Dominoes, Layla and Other Assorted Love Songs. And this is way before Layla came out as a single. And I played this album at home and I thought Layla was just the greatest thing I'd ever heard. The power of that guitar intro and everything was just unbelievable. And Stuart Grundema was my producer then. And I said, I want to play this, Stuart. This is fantastic. He said, no. no, you're not playing that 9 o'clock in the morning. He said it's far too heavy for Radio 1 at that time. And if you play that, there'll be a good chance of you getting fired. And it's my one regret of all those years of Radio 1 that I didn't play it. I really should have. Because it's become an absolute rock classic, yeah. An iconic rock record, Layla. And I'd have been the first one to play it. So I enjoyed my time at Radio 1. They were fantastic years. It was a great time for the radio station. The audiences were huge. You could really help artists if you got behind a record. But together with that, there was this ongoing frustration. It was a constant battle to play what I thought was really great music that the audience loved to hear.
From now until 3 o'clock, we've 2 hours of nice early afternoon music for you. For your delectation this lunchtime. I'll be looking at the stars at shortly after the 1:30 news.
And then you took over the lunchtime show, initially between 1 and 3, which everybody of a certain age remembers you for. So many features that became a must-listen at that time, such as the horoscopes.
What happened was, I was very interested in astrology. But real astrology, where you find somebody's date of birth and place of birth, and then you can do an accurate astrological chart. And Patrick Walker used to write astrology for the Evening Standard, the London newspaper, which, and I thought his columns were brilliant. So I went to him and I said, Patrick, how do you fancy doing astrology on the radio? I'll ask people to send in all their precise details. You do a chart, I read it out, and then we'll ring them up and find out how accurate it was.
Dear Johnny Walker, I was born at 4:45. The only hang-up here, Alexander, is you didn't say AM or PM. But anyway, on Thursday, October 19th, 1939, at the Shaftesbury Nursing Home in Leicester, and skipping a little bit, you said, I'd like to know if Patrick Walker can help as to whether or not it is in my stars that we might move house in the very near future.
And it became very popular and very successful. And I think there's only one woman actually said, no, I don't, the chart's not me. The rest of them said it's absolutely uncanny. So I thought it was a very interesting experiment in real astrology. But one day, a gentleman called Howard Newby, somebody I didn't know existed, somebody I would never ever see, was in the car listening to Radio 4, and his wife and daughter in the car. And his wife said, oh, Howard, can you just turn on Radio 1? I want to hear Johnny Walker in the astrology spot. He said, what? So they said, yeah, we really like it. We listen every day. Did you mind putting it on? So they put it on. And he listened to that. He went back into the BBC and said, this has got to stop immediately. This is absolute heresy. This is non-Christian. What is the BBC doing broadcasting this esoteric, you know, supernatural rubbish of astrology? And I was away on holiday and I came back and I said, Johnny, the astrology feature is finished. No more. And I said, who say so? Howard Newby, the director of radio. I said, well, did I get a chance to speak to him and defend the whole thing? No, you don't. It's not happening. But we thought of a great idea to replace it. You can do a quiz called Pop the Question.
10cc, the Dean and I, 1:15 on Radio 1. Thursday's Johnny Walker Show. We're playing Pop the Question with Linda Torre from Battersea and Jean Burbage and the rest of her office. And whereabouts is it?
It's up Cornhill.
Cornhill?
Yeah.
Oh, in the city?
Oh, yes, very posh.
Work in the city of London?
Oh, yes.
Okay, right, here we go. Linda, top 10 number?
2, please.
Number 2. That question. Joe Walsh used to be in a group called the James Gang. He has now joined a group which features, amongst others, Glenn Frey and Don Henley. Can you tell us the name of that group?
Fred Bloggs and goodness knows who.
I wish it was, but it's not. It's the Eagles, which is a much better name.
And somebody in the music library had done a search and found a record called Pop the Question. So that became the jingle, which is like one of the worst radio jingles ever. But people would remember it.
Yeah,
it was very memorable.
Certainly do.
Pop, 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 pop the question now.
Pop the question. Pop, 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 pop the question now.
And a welcome back for our reigning champion, who could say, I've a couple of tokens, and I'd like another one today. Ivor Kerslake from Paul and Dorset. Good afternoon.
Hi, John.
21 to 30 number, please.
29, please, John.
I got some young girl, and bless her, and she didn't win. I said, I'm very sorry, you won't be winning an album, but I'll send you a single. She goes, I don't want a single. I don't want a single. I want an album. So that was kind of tricky, and it was that sort of radio moment where, for years, people would stop me at gigs and say, hey, do you remember that girl who really made a fuss? She didn't want to sing.
Second biggest selling single in Great Britain at the moment, that's Mud, and the cat crept in. And just ahead of the number one, this is Johnny Walker with all the news. A complete rundown of the brand new Radio 1 Top 30 compiled for the BBC by the British Market Research Bureau.
Oh, the memories. Who could ever forget you running down the Tuesday afternoon chart? And the music was Booker T and the MGs, wasn't it? And Time Is Tight.
Yeah, I loved the way that instrumental built. As it went through, the pace of it lifted up. And the sound of it got more intense.
Down one at 13, Wall Street Shuffle, 10cc. Down three at 12, Banana Rock from the Wombles. Down three at 11, If You Go Away, Terry Jacks.
If I timed it well, it's really fast now. Yeah, time is tight. It's getting to that end bit, but it's really built.
It was exciting because it was the unveiling of the new chart. Entire nation listening.
Yeah, it was bizarre because you know, your Top of the Pops, I think, was Thursday night.
Yeah.
You'd hear all the charts show on a Sunday afternoon. So Tuesday was when actually the new chart came out. You'd think it'd come out on a Friday or something like that. But yeah, people used to come home from school to listen to the chart because it was very important about what was in the chart and what was number one.
Scribbling it down.
Yeah.
So, brand new number one, but first a time check. 247 metres, this is Radio 1. It's now exactly 1 o'clock.
Radio 1, it's number 1.
Three cheers and a whoopee. George has made it. Rock Your Baby, the new number one. Wigan's chosen few on Radio 1, now at number 10 with Footsie. And my missus said last night, if only I was 16 again, I'd love to do that dance. Oh well, old age. Right, to recap on the new entries, we've had four so far, coming from The Arrows, Mud, Frankie Valli, Shirley and Company, and here comes number 5. Straight in the chart at number 9, it's Steve Harley and Cockney Rebel. On their way to number one.
Having that honour bestowed upon you each week of revealing what the nation's number one record was, it did land you in a bit of hot water, didn't it, with the Bay City Rollers fans?
Yeah, what happened was, I think it was Bye Bye Baby had been number one for 5 weeks, yeah. And I remember coming in Tuesday morning and saying to my producer who got the list, I said, please tell me we have a new number one. He goes, no change. I thought, oh, jeez. So here we go. So I've got it, you know. So I did all the rundown. I did the top five, and I said at
number one
for the sixth week, it's the Bay City Rollers. Put the record up.
If you hate me after all I say,
can't put it off.
So he came hurrying over about 10 minutes later, and he said, the BBC switchboard is being jammed by angry Bay City Rollers fans who said you sounded bored that the band was at number one again with Bye Bye Baby. He said, I think you've got to apologise. So I thought, apologise, you can forget that. So the record came to an end. I was feeling really angry. I just opened the mic and I just said what came out, and I said, listen, apparently the switchboard's jammed because Bay City Rollers fans say, I didn't sound excited, enthusiastic. The Bye Bye Baby was number one for the sixth week. I said, listen, I don't mind you liking the Bay City Rollers. You can love them all you like. Don't expect me to love them. In fact, if you want to know what I really think, I think they make musical garbage. And went into the next record. And it was front page news on all the tabloids the next day. Johnny Walker slams Bay City Rollers, musical garbage. It was massive row about it. Huge.
As the chartman on Radio 1, you and I have talked about this on another programme before, my Top of the Pops playback series. But you were a main player at Radio 1, one of the key guys. Why is it that you didn't present Top of the Pops any more than the one occasion that you did?
Because I think TV, live TV, frightened me to death. And I did such a bad job of that Top of the Pops. I'm quite angry with the way that happened. I think I got a call about sort of 11 or 12 o'clock. Can you go to Elstree and do Top of the Pops tonight? Somebody obviously was ill or they couldn't do it. So I went to Elstree. turned up and kind of watched what was going on. And I think all the studio manager and everybody involved, the director should have had a bit more involvement. But I think they just took it for granted that, oh, here's one of the rota of Radio 1 DJs who does Top of the Pops. He'll know what to do. So the guy would just pass me a mic and he'd say, right, 10 seconds. And so I'd never done a TV show before like that. I'd never practiced sort of timing things for 10 seconds. I've always avoided seeing it again. So the idea that it's sort of come up from the depths of wherever it's been languishing all these years. I'll have to get brave. I'll have to do it, watch it with my wife,
yeah,
Tiggy.
Yeah, you will. I'll sort it out. I'll sort out a copy for you. But it's really pretty good. You know what I mean?
If you say so, Sean, I'll take it.
No, listen, I'd never lie to you about such a thing. And the Radio 1 Roadshow was starting up, of course, in the early 1970s as well. That was another thing that you avoided.
Yes. It's very difficult. When you're in a situation like that, I always feel this when I'm not that keen on visitors coming to a show. If they want to see the studio and sort of see me do a program, I sort of suggest they come for the last half hour or something like that so they can watch a bit. Then I can talk to them afterwards. But I've had people come in before into your program and they start chatting to you while the record's on. Mm. And suddenly you go, oh, hang on, the record's ending. And you go to do a link and you're not prepared for it. Yeah. You're not mentally tuned in. You've got to be completely sort of focused on doing a radio show. So, and you don't do much while a record's on, really. I mean, you queue up the next one, you sort out maybe a dedication or something like that. Not very visual. So how can you do a visual show to huge numbers of people and then broadcasting on the radio? You're like trying to do two things at once. So I was never very comfortable, really, with the Radio 1 Roadshow. We got to have fun and we got to play silly pranks on each other and all of that thing. And I kind of missed that because when I left in 76... that was really the sort of fun period of Radio 1. And I'm quite glad I didn't have to do it, to be honest.
Was it hard, though, to say no to that? Was there a pressure from the management to go out there and do it with you being high profile?
I honestly can't recall how many I did or how many I said, no, I'd rather not.
How many
you
swerved,
yeah. Yeah.
Climbing yet again, another American single. 17 last week, up 10 places to number 7 for 3 degrees. And when will I see you again? Takes us up to Newsbeat, and we'll be back after Newsbeat at 1:45 with the top 5.
This lunchtime show eventually moves 12 to 2. What a perfect time. 12 to 2. Great slot, you know. And then because the politicians had complained that the Radio 1 was just a pop station, just like the Pirates, just like commercial radio, you know, the BBC should be doing better than that. So some bright spark up in the hierarchy and the management goes, oh, well, we'll put a 15-minute news magazine program in there. That'll make the politicians realise that this is different. So into my show comes a 15-minute news thing. So I start at midday. I finish at 12:30. It goes into Newsbeat. I sit there fuming for 15 minutes listening to this thing. And then at 12:45, I've got to kind of pick it up again and restart the show and try and build the atmosphere up again.
And that's it on the Lunchtime Newsbeat. Eric Burton was talking to Richard Skinner. We're back at 5:45, but right now it's time for us to get out of this place and hand you back to Johnny Walker.
Thank you, Laura Mayer, and Newsbeat. Just gone, 12:45 on Radio 1. And back to the music now. This is Gallagher and Lyle from the Breakaway album and Stay Young.
I find that so discouraging and if they're going to do something like that, do it at the end of a show and have the next show start 15 minutes late. Don't make somebody do half an hour and then stop for 15 minutes and then start again. It's horrible. Hated it.
Johnny Walker Show for Friday the 2nd of July, back with more music and memories in 1/4 hour. But now at 12:30, time for Newsbeat.
I mean, it ended up in 1976 with an ultimatum from Derek Chinnery saying, Johnny, we want to sign you up for another 2 years on the Lunchtime Show, but no more album tracks. So I said, well, you mean more Bay City Rollers? He said, yeah, if they're in the charts, more Bay City Rollers, no album tracks.
Apparently the word from upstairs I've just heard is I must go back to my mention of the sadistic Mika band and cross out the first word, so we must refer to them as the Mika band. Can't have that word sadistic going out on the BBC. I am sorry.
is, of course, our prime function to protect you from this wicked world. If you care to send a large stamped addressed envelope, we'll send you some cotton wool and some earplugs to keep you away from the wicked things that are going on. Perhaps you'd like to mail us your newspaper's tomb, and we'll cut out the nasty bits and censor them for you as well, send them back.
So I said, why not give me for a while a weekend show where I can have more freedom? And he thought that was such a... He said, who on earth would want to leave a Monday to Friday show and for a weekend show? And then the weekend shows were considered like B Division. Now some of the best shows are at the weekend. But then it was all... the important thing was Monday to Friday. So he couldn't understand that I would actually volunteer to leave a Monday to Friday to do a weekend.
That's Wings and Silly Love Songs. Was number one in America, then Dinah Ross moved it off the top for a couple of weeks with Love Hangover. And Paul Gambaccini on his American program between 5 and 6.30 last week said he had an idea that Wings would go to number one again. We'll find out tomorrow at 1 o'clock in our chart, Silly Love Songs, number two.
So he said, no, not an option. He says, 2 years on the lunchtime show, now album tracks or nothing. So I just saw red and I said, well, it better be nothing.
Johnny Walker on Radio 1.
The last Johnny Walker show, and I'd like to send a lot of good wishes to Paul Burnett, who takes over the lunchtime show on Monday. And if he gets as much pleasure as I have from being on the radio each day, he won't want for very much. Good luck to you, Paul.
They couldn't figure me out, I think. I was a bit of a square peg in a round hole. Because I wasn't totally top 40 like David Hamilton or Tony Blackburn was, but I wasn't totally progressive like John Peel or the other DJs who did that. I was somewhere in between. And I used to like to play the cream of the top 40 hits, but I also like to introduce the occasional, you know, thing that's maybe only on an album, or somebody like Steely Dan, who wouldn't have top 40 singles normally, although they did with Reading in the Ears and Do It Again. But that's what I love to do. And the fact that it wasn't appreciated, the fact that they take out 15 minutes for a news magazine thing, all these things, I thought, well, they're just spoiling. This could be so good. And I know people would really like this, and it would not be difficult to get the reaction from the audience, and I'm sure they did. The people appreciated the fact there was one show during the day that was slightly different, that did introduce some new music. And I still meet people today, and they said, thanks, you know, three-quarters of my record library at home is thanks to you, which is a huge compliment, you know, because I really did care about what I was playing. So for that to be seen as a nuisance... In fact, Derek Chinnery, the controller, when I said in answer to his, it's got to be 2 years, lunchtime show, no album tracks or nothing, and I said, it better be nothing then. He said to me, Johnny, you know what the problem with you is? And I said, no, Derek. No, I don't. What's the problem with me? I thought, this is going to be interesting. He goes, you're too into the music, man. And that moment, I thought, well, that's it. That is it. I'm going to go somewhere where my love of music, my knowledge of music is going to be appreciated. And it had to be an American FM rock station that played album tracks.
Well, I'll be flying off to San Francisco first week in August on my own, as Francis is going to be pretty busy. Be doing 3 weeks hard work on the air. And for the fourth week, we'll be compiling especially for their listeners of station KSAN in San Francisco, a British special. So we're really going to get our music over to San Francisco for a week in August. The Union Jack will be flying above the station.
I stayed there for about 6-7 years. Got fired from the radio station in San Francisco for playing punk rock. Went very much into the underground punk scene of San Francisco and DJed at shows and things. They'd never seen a mobile disco.
Really?
Deck. Didn't exist in America.
Incredible.
And I Roger Squires was a guy who made all the mobile DJ's gear back then. And I said, Roger, I need a double, you know, turntable unit. So I got it shipped out in America. And I remember Talking Heads were playing this show. And the idea was I'd play records during the interval between the bands. And there was a place called the Geary Temple that played shows. The Clash played there, Gang of Four, Dave Edmunds, all those bands of that period that went over there. So I was heavily involved in that whole scene. So that was quite an experience. But then there just reached a moment I thought, I want to come back.
And lo and behold, after a handful of years on commercial radio in the West Country, you were back at the big one.
stereo sequence on Radio 1.
It's music all the way from now until 7:30. This is Johnny Walker. This is a turn up for the books. I did not expect to be back here again, but it's great to be back.
I went for very poor money, in fact, back to Radio 1, because I was working 3 or 4 days a week on that show, and it was a 6 or 7 hour show. It was ridiculous. So, but it was a great thing to do. And, yeah, that was my foray back into Radio 1. And Kevin Howlett was the producer. He had superb taste in music. So, I'm very proud of the stereo sequence.
Johnny, thanks ever so much for telling us all about your Radio 1, and as ever, really, really entertaining stories. I've enjoyed it immensely. Thank you.
Well, you've interviewed all the other DJs. You've got a lot of stories to pack in.
Yeah.
So, you know, good luck with the editing.
You know, the lovely thing is everybody's got a different Radio 1 story, and yours is certainly unique.
Good.